Almighty God, worthy God, we praise you. We lift you up. We magnify your name, oh God. Glory. Lift up high praise to God right now. Press into this just a little bit right now. Glory to God, glory to God, glory, glory, glory. Jesus, we praise you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So good to be in the Lord's house on a beautiful Sunday morning, to be a part of what God is doing, to be a part of his kingdom, to know him in spirit and in truth. And we are a blessed people. We're blessed in innumerable ways. And you don't have to look far to see the blessing of God in your life. And it lends to your health and your strength if you'll focus on those blessings and not on your lack and not on what is not, but focus on what God has done and what he is, and loose your voice and begin to praise him for that. Your life is immeasurably blessed by recognizing and maybe cataloging and rehearsing the goodness and the blessings of God in your life. And you'll come out of that season of worship to God enriched and empowered and encouraged. And today we are really thrilled in this house to have Brother Daniel Blash and Sister Blash in the house with us. Brother Blash is a tremendous blessing to the Apostolic Church. He is busier in his life than any man has any right to be, and holds too many jobs and is involved in too many things. But I think he's carved out a little time for us here today, and I count it a blessing that he's able to spend some time with us. But he is an enriching blessing to the whole Apostolic Church. God has poured into him wonderful things. We had a great leadership session with him last night, and he planted in us and sowed into us things that will keep us and bless us for a long period of time to come. And he's come today, and I want him to just do whatever's fresh in his heart, what's alive in his spirit right now. And because of that, it'll be immediate. It'll be here for all of us. It'll be like the breaking of the bread. It'll feed everybody in the house. And I'm thrilled. I'm so glad you were able to bring your better half with you. And she's here. Sister Blash, would you be so kind as to greet our dear Honig family in Deggendorf today? I don't want to make you go the whole journey, but the Honig family has been with us for many years, and they're with us every Sunday morning faithfully, and they are in somewhat of an apostolic desert over there, and so they tune in here and share in this community, but would you greet them for us today? I appreciate it.
Preis den Namen Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Preis den wunderbaren Namen Jesus. Meine liebe Familie dort in Deutschland. Ich bete für euch, dass der Herr Jesus eine große Arbeit tut. Ich weiß, dass Deutschland eine Bewegung Gottes braucht. Und ich bete, dass auch durch diese Gemeinde hier, dass der Herr Jesus junge Leute erweckt, um die Botschaft des Evangeliums nach Deutschland zu bringen.
Amen. That was a lot. That the Lord would awake young people, that would bring them alive and bring the word of God.
Ganz besonders durch diese Gemeinde hier. Ich glaube, dass Gott große Pläne hat für diese Gemeinde, für Deutschland. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Tell them we love them and we're so delighted that they're a part of this church family.
Pastor Sutton sagt, dass er euch alle sehr lieb hat und dass er froh ist, dass ihr ein Teil der Gemeinde hier seid.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Sister Blash. How nice. How nice. Praise God. I love the kingdom of God. It's full of all sorts of wonderful things. And the more diverse we get, the stronger we get. The more diverse we are. And it's not diversity like the world counts diversity, where they put you in little cubby holes and bind you up with predictable boundaries and everything. Because when you come to the kingdom of God, there's only one culture, and it's the culture of the kingdom. Well, praise God. Praise God. I feel the warmth, the wonderful breath of the Holy Ghost in the house today. Brother Blash, we love you, and we want you to come and just take your liberty and preach to us. Everybody just extend your hand toward him and pray for him right now.
Jesus, lift your voice together with me and magnify the name of the Lord again. Oh, precious God, we honor you. Well, first of all, let me say, this is my very first time in your new digs, and I'm loving it. Amen. How is it you're just over a year in the place and you're already outgrowing it? How is that even possible? What a beautiful, beautiful sight, and what an equally beautiful spirit of worship to God. Your pastor said so much in that little time of exhortation, but I echo all of it. That time of worship is so refreshing, and it's so much better to give your thoughts to the things of God than to the problems of this world. The truth of the matter is the presence of the Lord is always going to be around you if you will open your heart, your mind to receive it. It's easy, it's there. But you also have trials and tribulations, and they'll probably also be there. So the truth of the matter is you have a choice, and you can spend all your time on one thing or the other. I just want to spend my time focusing on God. I'm not putting my head in the sand and pretending there are no problems. I'm lifting my head towards heaven, and I'm acting like He is able to help me, to guide me, to lead me through it all. Amen. Amen. I want to sing a song for you, but I can't sing. Thank you, Pastor Sutton, First Lady, this great leadership team, for allowing me to be here with you and to spend some time with you. I think I can teach or preach this message in about 30 minutes. I've never taught it before, so that's a guess. So maybe 45 minutes. It won't go past an hour and a half. I'm trying to take a poll here. I'm trying to get a feel from your, okay. All right, so y'all smiling now, but it just felt better when I said 30, so I'll try and stick with that somehow or another. Amen. I have a premise that will help to support this message. And the premise is simply this. I believe everyone was created to serve God and to worship Him. I believe that. As a matter of fact, I believe that in our purest self, when no one's looking, when there aren't pressures, when it's just in our purest state, that worshiping and serving Him is the easiest thing to do. It's right there next to breathing. And perhaps that's why the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's right there next to breathing and how easy it is. And you're going, wow, that's not me. God didn't do that. Life did that to you. If it's not you, that's not God. That's life. And what we're going to try and do in the next few moments is bring in more of God and push out the things that would choke Him out. And let's see what happens if we do that. Amen. I'm excited. In one of my many, many jobs, I talk to people, and I talk to people all day long, it seems. And I try not to beat around the bush. I try not to sneak up on people, surprise them, no trickery. My friend, my best friend, uses the word psychobabble with me when he thinks I'm up to something. I'm usually not. I usually mean what I say and say what I mean. And so to make it very, very fair, so that nobody feels tricked here, no one feels manipulated here, if you're not where you need to be with God, I'm coming after you. Fair enough? Yeah. I'm not going to trick you. I ain't going to do the raz and daz. I'm just going to tell you straight up front, I'm coming after you. The result might be those who are dancing on the mountaintops, I might bore you for the next 30 or 40 minutes or whatever it turns out to be, but would you help us pray for the rest when it's all said and done? Amen. I want to talk to those that need to come closer to God. All right, well, you've been duly warned. The book of Luke, chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 12, reading through verse number 16. You have a wonderful leader. I could spend lots of time telling you that. You already know that, but you do. Amen. And you've got a great team. Amen. Now, if you don't like them, I'll take them all to St. Louis. I mean, I'm just saying, you got a great team, so praise God. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. We've called this story, and I'm reading a part of this narrative that's quite long. I'm reading a part of it. We've called it the prodigal son. The prodigal son, we've called it that. We've at least the chief character, one of the main characters, the prodigal son, and it goes away, comes back, and he's received again. That's what I'm reading right now. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Would you say riotous living? Riotous living. Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to just guess that he had a lot of plans when he left, and maybe he didn't plan to go partying. Maybe he did. But my experience has been when people walk away, where they end up is not where they thought they would end up. They just went to kind of get away from it all, just to kind of find themselves a little bit. And they end up in riotous living. But that's an important word or phrase there. Verse number 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he fain, that word there means gladly, when he gladly would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That was a scenario. Now, you already know that there comes a point where in that moment, clarity hits. Is it fair to say he was at rock bottom? I sure wish clarity would hit before you hit rock bottom, but sometimes it doesn't. It hit. I want to spend a few moments talking about this thought. When the fog lifts, oh man, I'm excited because I got a feeling that it's already started. I love it. You don't even know it. It's already started. Oh, just wait. Wouldn't it be beautiful if there was another mighty Russian wind that blew it all away, and somebody in this building went, what have I been doing? What's wrong with me? I'm better than this. And woke up. Lift your hands with me one more time. Father, we love you. We thank you. We honor you, God. You're so good to us, Jesus. And we ask for your blessings and your mercies, God. I pray especially for that one, God, who is, they're here. They're glad they're here, God. But the truth is, Lord, they're not where they need to be in you. And God, maybe they've been coming a long, long time, or maybe, God, this is their very first time here, and they're feeling something, God, and it's pulling them, God, and the tug of war is happening, God. Before it's all said and done, would you weigh in on their side and help them break through it? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And somebody said, amen. You can be seated. There is so much that can be said about this passage of Scripture. I'll do my best to just only say a few of those things that could be said. But one thing that's very important is this story tells the life experience of someone who walked away from the Father and went, had experiences, if we can say it like this, maybe hit rock bottom or a very difficult time. There was another experience, and he walked back to the Father. So I thought maybe I would start by saying it's really important for you to figure out which way somebody is walking before you start talking to them. It's a different mindset. The person who is walking away from the Father is in another different mindset, different place altogether. They might not be so open to your advice or your suggestions or whatever you're trying to do to help them. But the person who's walking back home, that's a whole nother story. The person who's walking away will check their watch and say, I wonder when this service will end. The person who's coming back towards home will check their watch and say, I wonder how quickly the preacher's going to make the altar call because I need to get up there now. It really matters how you sit in a service. The person that's walking away from God will see all the things and all the distractions and be pulled away from what's happening in the spirit. But the one that's hungry, that's coming towards God, somehow or another blocks all that stuff out. And when they're talking about being a Lord of a breakthrough, they see themselves breaking through, and they're waiting for that moment. And in this building, they're both, and coming after you both. Amen. There is a phenomenon that I've been trying to describe that I think might help us understand the mindset of that son as he is walking away from his father. And the best way I can think of that mindset is to kind of think of maybe going to the dentist, and they might put a mask on your face, and they might give you some gas or it's nitrogen oxide, nitrous oxide. And we call that maybe laughing gas. Anybody ever heard of that? Yeah. And what that's supposed to do is it's not designed to put you to sleep. That son that walked away wasn't sleeping. It's designed to just kind of relax you, calm you down, and to just put you in that stage of being under the influence so you're enough there to participate. You're enough there to answer questions. You're enough there to just kind of engage with it, but you're not sleeping, and you're not enough there to really be anxious, and that's exactly what it's designed to do, and that describes the mindset of that son in my mind. It's as if the moment he decided that walking away was what he wanted to do, that there was a mask that just slipped over him, and it put him in this really weird place, and that's the best description that I can give you of that. But I'm curious, and what I really want to talk about is I believe that there's a point in time that we can go back and we can say, there it is. That's the moment in time where he made up his mind that being in the Father's house just was not what he wanted to do. And I believe there's also a point in time in the narrative where we can put our finger on it and go, there it is, right there. That's the time where he decided that it's time to go back. And then what I want you to do is I want you to find yourself in that narrative. Does that make sense? All right, because even if it doesn't, that's what I'm going to preach. And so I'm going to suggest to you that the problem started in his head, or maybe the heart. The Bible talks a lot about the heart. We think about the condition of the heart. No man can know the heart. We think about all that stuff. If we're sad, we want to have Jesus in our achy, breaky heart. But we talk about the heart as if it's right. But the heart is a muscle. So really, when the Bible is talking about the heart, it's not so much talking about this thing that's beating right here. Maybe it's the mind, or maybe it's a combination of your intents and your mind and your thoughts, where you are, your heart, and where your treasures are. Your heart, they're going to be connected. It's out of the abundance of the heart, the mind. Mouth speak it. So it's not this thing here. It's maybe this thing here or some combination of who you are. So it started there. It started in his heart or in his mind. There was something out there that young man could see, but he couldn't have it. But he could see it, and it was there. It just was beyond his reach because he was in the Father's house. He could not experience it. It's amazing. It's an amazing phenomenon how much appeal something has when that something is just beyond your reach. I've seen people fight for things they didn't want just because a slick market person put it just beyond their reach, and just the nature of man did the rest. Mm-mm-mm. For some of you daters, that was free. No, it's the lure. You know it. It's beyond your reach, but you can have it for these installment payments. You get the idea. And so it becomes more valuable. But that's not all. If it's beyond your reach and you continue to kind of look at it and desire it, there's this quiet tug of war that begins to take place deep on the inside of you. And you wonder, why is it beyond my reach? And you begin to examine the things that are blocking you or interfering between you and that thing that's beyond your reach. And if you don't change that dynamic, ultimately, you'll reach more for it. And you'll fight more against the things that keep you from it, even if what it is a weight or a sin that might destroy you. Ultimately, if you don't take your eyes and your desire off of it, you'll begin to resent the things that keep you from it. It's the person that grows up in the church. Oh, Lord, see, y'all are quiet. I did, Pastor, I warned them. Did I not? I said, I'm coming after you. Did you expect I was going to preach something cute that would not begin to stir your heart and your mind and convict you about where you might be and to help you see God better? I told you I can't sing, so the only thing I can do is my best to point you toward God. And it's all right. Your silence doesn't bother me. In our church, I tell the preachers in our church they're coming. I warn them. I'm like, you can preach loud if you want to. But if you want them to respond, you better say something. I mean, you better get past the one-liners and actually say something. So I'm just trying to say something. It's a person that grows up in the church and they're surrounded by the Spirit of God. They're surrounded by the work of God and the people of God. and the things of God, and they've enjoyed the benefits of that environment. Because they are surrounded by those things, they've developed a lifestyle. They've developed habits and patterns and standards that have kept them from things that would have maybe harmed them or ultimately even destroyed them. And so they did not get wasted in high school even one time because their convictions kept them away from that kind of thing. They don't have a big line, long line of regrets about bad decisions that they've made around sex and sexuality because their boundaries kept them away from those things. And at the same time, they're bombarded by a world that says, you missed out. You're really not fully developed because you've only experienced one side. But I'm telling you that one side is all the development you ever need. You were never designed to develop on the other side. That is not development, that's regression. I don't want to be rude, but you don't get smarter, you don't get richer, you don't get better, you don't get anything by living in the world riotous lifestyles. All you get is heartache, more strife, more regret, more confusion, more destruction. Your heart ripped to shreds. But the people who can preach that with the most authority are preaching it from experience. But if you haven't experienced it, then you're like, well, yeah, that's what you say. And so you just kind of look, and the battle starts in the mind. And your standards and your morals and your holiness and your Bible and your traditions and all your teaching keeps you from touching it. And so you don't touch it. But if you keep looking at it, I'm trying to explain to you how the prodigal son got the guts to go to his father and say, give me my money. And there's a whole story in theology that I'm skipping about that little statement right there, but just let me have it. So when you grow up and you're surrounded by all those protections and you don't want to touch it, but you see it, your heart, your mind begins to experience it virtually. I don't have to touch it. I can just close my eyes and I can imagine myself there. And what do you know? There are emotions connected to that. There is all sorts of body and brain chemistry connected to your imaginations. And so you imagine yourself there. This is why television is so addictive. It allows you to imagine yourself in places that you really aren't, with people you really don't know, with money you really ain't got. And because you don't like where your lifestyle, you want to vicariously live somebody else's. But I would never do those things, Pastor. I would never engage in those things, but I can see myself there. Now, I'm not coming to lecture you about television. There's a good lecture that could be said about that. I will only say this one thing. When they hook people up to monitors that measure breath rate, respiration, that perspiration, heart rate, and all of that, what they've noticed is that as the movie or the music or all of those things, as it begins to intensify, there's a physiological response that correlates perfectly to how the music or how the scene is intensifying. I mean, they're one of the most iconic movies of all times was based on this one phenomenon. Ba-num, ba-num,
Bono, right? The kids were going, what's that? Everybody else was going, I know what that is, right? Right? Entire country stopped swimming in fresh, I mean. Parents chasing their kids through the house going, Bono, stop, Mom, stop. Right? And the heart's going like this. There's a connection. And so emotionally, you are there. Cognitively, you are there, but physically you haven't touched it, which means you can still claim, I haven't done that. I'm trying to get you to understand the moment in time. Here's the problem. Your brain can only give you so much happy juice through things that you experience virtually. Right there. Now closer. Right there. Yep, you're going to have to do. I so want to touch his hair and just mess it up. But that's rude. It's not kind. It's probably going to cut me. And he might take a swing at me. So I'm not going to do that because it's wrong. But every time I look at him, I'm going to think about that. He's like, brother, how is it you're always smiling at me when you look at me? I'm going, in my body, I'm going, God is good. In my mind, I'm like. And I get, that's I just kind of get a little joy out of that, a little pleasure out of that, a little satisfaction out of that. But after 2 or 3 months, I want to get a little closer. Because this is how it works. Hey, man, how you doing, bro? God is good. Oh. Oh, man, he's a brand. Man, this guy gives me a hug every service. Oh, yeah. I'm getting closer to it. God, I'm behaving myself. I've never put my hands in his hair and messed it up the way I want to, God, because I'm disciplining myself. No, you're not. You're fooling yourself. Your mind's already there. Your emotions are already there. The only thing that hadn't crossed over is physically you just hadn't. You spend too much time. I don't know what happened to him, but he spent so much time. It was almost there, but there's something holding me back. I just can't. But if it wasn't for the stuff in Father's house, if it wasn't for those things in Dad's house that prevent this, because I don't want to bring embarrassment on Dad, and I don't want to dishonor Dad and all those things. And so it's Dad's stuff, and it's Dad's house, and it's Dad's problems, and that's what's keeping me from what I really want to do. Before he ever went to confront his father, there was already a decision made because he spent too much time somehow imagining how much better it was going to be. On that, I don't, bro, I don't talk about guys, but the sports team. He imagined it, and somewhere, I don't know where, but somewhere it was like a mask just went on his face. It was like he was breathing that laughing gas.
and the dangers of walking out suddenly just didn't seem so risky. They were so overinflated by what Dad said. And I can do this if I've got just to give me the money, and that's what I need, and I can do this. And so he goes to his father and he says, basically, Dad, I want to go out there and I want to get a hold of what I've been watching, thinking about, feeling, desiring. It is the nature of man by the design of God that you will ultimately go after where your attention is focused. So does that mean that if you focus your attention on God today that there's going to be instant connection? No, but ultimately there will be. Oh, yeah. Ultimately, you'll break free of wherever you are to get to whatever you really want. Three of us believe that. All right. Dad said, I can't stop you. Here it is. Bro, you need to do something with that. Praise God. See, when he touched it, there was something that broke loose. He probably didn't even know it was tethered, but he felt it. And suddenly it just went deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And he learned a principle, and that is the things that God put in you, those things he puts in you, they're insatiable. And so you're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into it. Until the Bible says, you need a comb. Till the Bible says that he was broke, had no more money, and it still didn't hit him. So it wasn't just your money going bad. That mask on his face somehow or another just kind of dulled all the problems that were popping up that would have been red flags that he should be in Dad's house. Deeper in it, but somehow callous to it. God in heaven. How's that happen? Just that mask is just there. You're breathing in. You're breathing out. Just mellow. Just mellow. Just mellow. Oh, but thank God. Thank God. Thank God. He controls the wind. Something will always come. Always come to pull the mask off for just a moment and give you a little clarity. Then you can do something with it. You can scream and fight and kick and go, no, 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 no. I don't want to hear that stuff. Give me my drugs back. Or you can look around and go, whoa, what's going on? The Bible says that he was in this place where he's starving. This is so beautiful. He's starving and he's feeding these pigs and he's going to eat their food. There are so many violations. So much is going on. Now, why wouldn't he just eat it? I mean, it wouldn't have killed him. Why didn't he just eat it? I mean, take a big bite. Live for another day. He wasn't feeding sheep. He was feeding swine. Pigs. Now, for who he was, that would have been a new low. Anything else he might have eaten, but that's a line that he couldn't cross. And trying to cross that line jarred his system. But where did that value come from? Back in Father's house. And something, when he walked away, something broke, but something else held. And in him, there was a line that he just couldn't cross. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. There was a line that he could not cross. He would not cross. Somebody lift your hands right now, just in the name of Jesus. There was a line he would not cross. He could not cross that line. And when life brought him to that place, it snapped him back to attention. And I feel right now, moved in the Holy Ghost, that there's somebody in this place and you're at that line. And maybe it's not some grotesque sin. Doesn't have to be that. But you're at that line and something. Lift your hands and lift your voice for a moment. Somebody, make a way for what's about to happen. Jesus. 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 Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands. I'm not done, but I've been interrupted by the Spirit, and so I'm going to let that happen. Shotaha. Father, there's somebody in this building right now, more than one person, God. It's hitting home, God. Oh, God. Lord God, they've not gone too far that you stopped chasing them and they've hit that line in the sand. And they've been jarred by it all. And when that happened to him, it was as if someone took the mask off and even nitrous oxide is temporary. Once the mask is off, there's a little bit of something, and then there's clarity, and then there's more clarity. And almost everyone asks the same question. What did I say when I was under that stuff? That's interesting. When they come out of it, they want to know, did I do anything, say anything to embarrass myself? There's this instant kind of reckoning with who they are. And so when he came to the point of clarity, you know you're there when you start thinking again about the Father's house. It was his first thought. Oh, thank God. He began to think about his Father's house and how good it was there. I need a witness on this. Anybody ever kind of just get a little rebellious? You just get a little, you maybe you had a moment or two and you broke loose thinking you're going to do your own thing, and you did, and you got out there and it was a mess, and you came back to the Father's house and it was still good. Anybody? Nope. Here's the problem, see, we don't want to admit that in the apostolic movement, but many of us have ran away from the Father's house. Maybe we didn't go very far, maybe we went way too far, but we shouldn't have ever gone at all. Thank God, not everybody came back, but everybody who came back, they were received back into the Father's house and fully restored. I thank God for the church. Oh, somebody testify about the goodness of God and how merciful he has been to you. The goodness of God and how much grace he has shown to you. We just look like we belong here. The truth of the matter is, ain't none of us worthy of even being in this house. Oh God. Oh man, give me 5 minutes or 10 or whatever happens. I know people whose physical bodies and behaviors have never left the house, but their emotions and their cognitions have strayed many times, and they sit quite piously looking at everybody else. But I'm telling you, if any part of you leaves the Father's house, that part needs to come back the way he came back. Whew. There are people who are home right now. They're hungover. Maybe last week that was you. Maybe last year that was you. Maybe 10 years ago that was you. They're home right now. They're depressed. Maybe that was you. It's Sunday. And maybe they want to be here. Man, if they can somehow tune in to what's happening in this place, they tune in, and there's a part of them that longs to be where you are, experiencing what you're experiencing, hearing what you're hearing, and feeling what you're feeling. They're in the process of starting to see clearly. The fog is being removed, and they're thinking about the Father's house again. You all make it so easy here. I mean, folks can get the Holy Ghost in your greeting time. They can get the Holy Ghost in your song service time. They can get the Holy Ghost. I mean, you make it so easy here. Thank God for this church. That said something. So you just added 5 minutes to this message because you don't have a clue how good you got it. You've got it real good. Not only do you have it good, anybody that's hurting has it good because of you. You've created such a wonderful atmosphere in this place that anybody can come in under any circumstances at any time and lift their hands, and you've made it so easy. You've given them scriptures. You've given them an atmosphere and an environment, and because you've done that, God has blessed you. He's kept you, and he's anointed you, and some of you have no clue how good you've got it, but God has been real good to you. He said, I gotta get back. Oh, man. The fog was clearing. It was like somebody was just... And the more it cleared, some of y'all are so uncomfortable right now. The more it cleared, the more uncomfortable you get, the more it clears, because you can see God. And that initial discomfort is ultimately replaced by this other kind of recognition. I should be there. I should be doing that. I shouldn't be sitting back here dozing off. I should be up there dancing. And there's this pool, because everybody was created to worship and serve God. And if you're not doing that with all your heart, life has gotten to you. The problems of this world have gotten to you, but let me tell you, God has also gotten to you, and that's why you feel the tug and the pull. Disappointment and bitterness and sorrow and anger and hurt and all those things you get when you're out there, they latch onto you, and you sit on the surface like this, and you feel the tug of war, and it produces this discomfort. And that's okay. There's nothing about this message designed to make you comfortable. As a matter of fact, I feel conflict in my spirit. Not me against you, not you against each other, but the flesh warring against the spirit. I feel it. Here's why. Listen to it. You can read it. He starts giving voice to his thoughts. But where do the voice come from? Where do those words come from? It's out of the abundance of the what? Yeah, it's in there now. His focus is changing, and he's going, I can go to my Father's house. He can envision himself there. His orientation is correct. He's still in a mess. He's still nasty. He's still filthy. He's still surrounded by pigs, but his orientation is right. I'm going to get back to my dad's house. I can almost see myself there. As a matter of fact, I can imagine what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, oh, I've sinned. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against God. Please don't get your feelings hurt, but you never successfully make it all the way back without that one moment in time. There are some things that happen that keep you in the house, and that's one of them. I've got to repent. And so his mind was mostly right. I've got to make some things right. But in his imagination, he imagined himself as a servant. And he said this, I'm paraphrasing, I've done so much wrong, I've messed up so bad, I didn't just think about it, I did it, and I was up to my arms in it, so I know I can go back, but I cannot be his son, but I can be his servant and make a good bread. He came back with the right spirit and bad theology. Somebody should write that down. The right spirit, bad theology. The spirit was, I'm going to go back. The spirit was, I need to return. The spirit was, I need to repent. The spirit was, I've done wrong. But the theology was, I'm not his son anymore. I don't have that position or that authority or that I don't have that relationship. I can be a servant. But because he didn't make himself a son, he could not undo that process. It's so beautiful. Stand with me. It's so beautiful. I think the best churches on the planet Earth do this last part well. They see you coming. Come on back, brother. You got your hair all fixed up again. Come on back over that way. That's good right there. Yeah, just come on up. Stand on the... That's good. They see you coming, and they don't go, mm-hmm. I knew it. Because if that spirit in you, if it's in you, then you need to repent as much. More. Let you who are strong do what? Yeah, so you have a greater responsibility, so you need to repent longer. They didn't say, you know, look you give folks. The first conversation wasn't, you learn your lesson? I told you so. Hurts, don't it? When he's telling the story of his friends who left him, the right kind of church does not say, well, duh, what'd you expect? If you feel that way, you will ultimately move that way. The right place. That's why I like this church. It says, you see what I see? Here, double check that. Yep. The angels are going to rejoice over one that repented. What? You know why? Oh, man. You know why when churches get this wrong, they get it wrong? One of the reasons why is because they're not on the front line fighting for souls. So they don't need the help. But that church is out there trying to make it happen. They're going, help is coming. Thank you, Lord. See, nobody's going to do this to you today. No one's going to cross their arms and say, you can come to me, but I ain't taking a step to you. So come on. Shame, that walk of shame. That's what that produces. Now here on out, you're going to do exactly what I tell you. As if you ever did anything exactly that God told you consistently. Oops. Sorry. Go back. You cross your arms. You make him walk to you. Then he's going, it was bad out there. It's just a little bit better in here. But if you see him coming, I'm willing to get dirty with you a little bit to give you an embrace. You walk back in, y'all both smelling funny. But you've got authority to get it all cleaned up, and you start saying, let's celebrate. Let's have a party. When the fog cleared, there was still something tethered that brought him back to Daddy's house. I felt about 3 or 4 puffs of wind moved to this place. One I felt was during this service. It was gentle, just whew. And I thought, oh God, you're clearing the fog. I felt another 1 or 2 before I got up here, and I felt one since I've been up here, just something is clearing in the air. Here's what happened. Most people will put their head down and go, oh, look where I'm at. That's okay. That's the beginning of repentance. But at some point, pick it back up and make your way to the Father's house. If you're not where you need to be with God, that could mean that God has, you've been faithful, consistent, and he's really called you to another place, but you're not there. Or it could mean that you've walked away, and today you're here, and it's clearer than it's ever been. And you need to go ahead and solidify that. No matter which situation you're in, the answer is the same. Father's house. Father's house. Father's house. If that's you, would you come? Would you find a place? Would you come? Would you find a place?
You're going, Brother Blash, I'm still in the fog. I can feel it. It's got a hold of me. Make your way to the altar fast.
There's a certain wind that'll blow up here that will make it so clear, so fast. Lift your hands if you don't know what else to do. Respond to the Holy Ghost. The more you do, the clearer it becomes. God, there's sorrow at times when I see where I've been and what I've done and where I am. But God, it gets washed away in the beauty and the glory of your presence and your grace. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. God, draw somebody closer to you. Come on, friend. Come, come, come. Time away from the Father's house. I need you, God. My thoughts, my imaginations are not in the Father's house. Redirect me, God.